January 26th, 2026. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is podcast set number 2, episode number 3. We're doing a four-pack tonight. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in our beloved Banting Park home. And I am joined, as always, by the mighty Max Martinson, my amazing producer, who works from the comfort of his Cream City home near the MATC campus, close to PBS Milwaukee. And as always, we are acting locally, thinking globally, and so much to think about. But yeah, real quick, the big reason for our four pack tonight was, you know, last week it was the King holiday. It was a paid holiday for many people, but it was also the National Football Championship, which is probably one of my favorite games to watch in all of sport. And I was not disappointed. And even though I'm a Spartan, I was rooting for the Hoosiers of Indiana to win. And one, because I always like their fight song, and two, because they are Big Ten. And so I do, you know, I do try to root for Big Ten teams, especially in football. And gosh, Big Ten's won the last 3 National Football Championships. And so that's a big deal. And I think for those of you Badger fans out there who haven't had a lot to cheer about in these past couple of years and this Luke Fickell era, is that the fact that the Big Ten's bringing home the big prize every year, I think could be a hook that could help for recruiting, especially since, you know, for many years, the Badgers were always pretty competitive and even sometimes were among the elite of the Big Ten football teams. And so, you know, again, that could be a good recruiting tool, knowing the talent that we're bringing back. And, you know, it is a money thing, too. I heard, like, Mark Cuban is an Indiana alumnus, and he had drawn he'd donated a lot to build that program. Indiana, as many people know, was never really part of any conversation in terms of Big Ten championships or Big Ten contenders. When I was in college at Michigan State in the late 80s, Indiana they beat us once, and they were they finished like second or third the year that Michigan State won the Big Ten in 1987, and then won the Rose Bowl. So, but obviously Indiana was better known as the basketball school. And now it's like the other way around. Now they're the elite, not just of the Big Ten, but of college football. And, you know, I take my hat off to them. And it's certainly, it's something fun to cheer about, but I know that many of us locally would rather be cheering for the Badgers on to victory. And I know my mighty Spartans, same thing. And, well, even at the high school level, we'd love to see Waukesha South or some of the other Waukesha high schools bringing the brass home on a more regular basis, or at least having some winning seasons. So, and I do believe, you know, for North and South, that that's not too much further on the corner the way South's football program has improved. And so, and then same for our basketball program. I believe the team is like 5-7, but they're, you know, they're the conference that they moved to is probably as good, if not better, than the Classic Eight in basketball. I mean, Wisconsin Lutheran's in that division, along with a lot of other, there's a couple other, you know, state-ranked teams in the conference that South has to play every year. So, they're competitive and they're fun to watch. I did go see a game. They lost to Whitefish Bay, and it's a game they probably could have won. And just the boys just didn't play their best game. Their star player, Keegan DeGeorge, got hurt. It was like a hip injury or something. So he was really, he had like 15 points in the first half and might have had 2 in the second half. And so he just wasn't able to compete at a level that he's able to shine at. So like that was a big factor. But certainly, you know, something to pay attention to locally. You know, Max and I were talking about the big news in the world and how it impacts us locally. And probably the biggest discussion has been what happened on, I guess, was it Saturday already, with the murder of that ICU nurse by ICE. This nurse was actually defending a woman that just got pushed to the ground by somebody from ICE. The woman did not seem very threatening in any, in a physical way or whatever. Maybe there was some some verbal jarring, you know, jawing, and but still not behavior, the kind of behavior you'd expect from law enforcement. And this guy was trying to help her, and everyone's seen the video, and you know, it's more evidence of ICE officials that aren't very well trained or are behaving or get basically given licenses to kill. And the narrative that was created, you know, at the federal level about this guy being a terrorist, about him having a weapon. And when you see the video, it's like, you didn't even know he had it till one of the ICE officials in his infinite wisdom pulled it out of the guy's pocket, out of his holster, while all the wrestling was going on. And it, as he was pulling it out, it went off and it caused a panic, and it scared another ICE official enough to shoot the guy point blank and kill him. And just a lot of unnecessary violence. And I did learn today, it was reported on different news outlets, that the top ICE official or Border Patrol official is Gregory Bovino, that's getting a lot of FaceTime in the news. Him and some of his agents are expected to leave Minneapolis tomorrow. The Department of Homeland Security has also suspended his access to social media accounts, which was also reported. The president, he had a phone call with the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, and also with Governor Tim Walz, and it seems like there's a little more consensus thought on what needs to be done, and that it seems like even the good news is that federal officials are going to pull back out of a situation that never should have, you know, really happened in the first place. And the mission is to go after illegal aliens, especially those with criminal records. And Minnesota, you know, whatever it was reported, had a lot of these Somali expatriates doing a lot of legal stuff, and I really haven't seen much evidence on that. But, you know, more to the point, as I was reading, is that red states like Texas and Florida, they have like an average of like 1.5 million undocumented aliens. And in Minnesota, in the Twin City, there's like 130,000. And the Trump administration decides to do a full court press on the Twin Cities. And, you know, we've seen the results, you know, two basically innocent people killed. And I don't care what the narrative is. No one's going to convince me that this middle-aged housewife was a terrorist, or this 37-year-old ICU nurse who, one of his things he was noted for was he would do last rites for our veterans, and would, in a very respectful way, especially those veterans that didn't maybe have surviving family members there at the hospital. And I couldn't think of a more noble act of patriotism than something like that. And so we killed the wrong people. And, you know, here back in Waukesha, it begs the question, you know, especially in a diverse community like Waukesha, and in a metro area like Milwaukee, is like, do we need to worry about this happening here? And I'm inclined to believe that the answer would be no, because at the present time, Wisconsin, and well, for sure, Waukesha County is a red county, and Wisconsin currently is, you know, Wisconsin's a purple state. It swings different ways. The governor's mansion is Democrat, but the Republicans have had a majority in the legislature. They had the governor's mansion, you know, for two terms prior to Tony Evers coming in, and they voted, you know, they won the presidential election for Donald Trump. And so it seems like if you're a red state, you're generally pretty safe, or you're not. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any full court press like you've seen in Minneapolis. So, but it's still, you know, it's disconcerting, some of the vitriol you see out of there from people that are your friends and your neighbors. Like, I was looking on Facebook, and I was just really, it was hard for me to believe some of the language being said about the guy that was killed, and basically really buying into what the spin doctors from you know, from MAGA, we're selling on how this whole thing all went down. And there was the big FAFO, which most of you kind of knows what that means right now. And you just saw like such like childish, even high schoolish language being used in describing the situation without any empathy for people being killed. I mean, I'm sorry, but like when a bad person gets killed or like a person that's definitely guilty or, you know, there's still a little bit of empathy. Someone's life just been taken away from them by gunpoint, you know, violently. And okay, yeah, there are murderers or some people that say, well, gosh, that's justified to you. But to witness that happening is still very, it's very troubling. And you do tend to have some empathy for if this person has family. You also think about the victims and their families, and you know, again, we're at the end of the day, we're humans, and you know, and I'm a big believer, you know, even though I abhor violence, I do believe in counter violence as a means of defending basic rights. And you'll hear people talking about, oh, it's all these rioters that are causing all the trouble. And it's just like, well, the trouble found them. The trouble came from, you know, these Gestapo tactics from ICE. And you also see that as well, in which there's a lot of easy comparisons being made to, how should I say it? Well, what happened in during the Third Reich in Nazi Germany and what's happening here in America, especially in cities like Minneapolis. And but I'm looking at social media now, and there's, I guess, so it's Tom Homan is replacing this Gregory Bovino. And the comment this person makes is that replacing Gregory Bovino with Tom Homan is like pooping your pants and changing your shirt. So I don't know. And I probably shouldn't laugh either, given the situation or the subject matter. So, but yeah, it certainly does beg the question for, you know, people here in our metro area and in Waukesha County is, you know, are we next, or what should we be concerned about? And, again, I think as long as the polls favor the Republicans or MAGA, that I guess we're fairly safe. I encourage everybody, this is the time to get involved in politics one way or another. And you can do it in constructive, nonviolent ways. And the power of the vote can ultimately make the difference. And it's not necessarily Democrats over Republicans. I'm deeply frustrated with both parties, and I believe I represent like probably a good like 47% of Americans that feel the same way. And you know, and we may end up voting Democrat or Republican at on election day, but it's because of oftentimes we're limited to two choices. And so, but I think it's important to start at the local level. And that's why, like, in my guest I had in the first two podcasts was Gina Nordrum, who teaches at Waukesha South, and she's an advisor for their student athlete leadership team, their SALT program. And so she works pretty closely with the kids, both in the classroom and with their extracurricular activities. And you know, I was asking her if you know, any students had weighed in on what happened, or if she had to field any questions, or if the student resource officers, to her knowledge, had to field any questions from the students. And she said, no, not really. There wasn't really much of a focus on it at all. And I think that's probably, it cuts a couple ways. You know, I think one was that school was closed on Friday, and kids were basically holed up the whole weekend in the freezing temperatures, and really wasn't much else to think about. I think number two, again, when you consider the demographics of our city and our high schools, that there's probably, you know, a lot of young people that are afraid of speaking out, afraid for their families, because it's like, even if you are legal and you have all the documentation, that if you're a person of color, they can pull you over, they can knock your door down. And that's obviously very disconcerting to a lot of people. And so it's, you know, the way that we counter that is, and while things continue to be, we don't represent a threat, I guess, at the federal level, is we should start getting involved locally, like pay attention to local elections. All politics is local. And so it's, and the nice thing too, when you do participate locally, you're not really getting into partisan politics. You're getting more into like the quality of your garbage and recycling pickup, the quality of your schools, the safety of your community, economic development, and you know, things we should be talking about. Waukesha is such a great manufacturing sector, probably better than most cities our size and most other like suburban communities, especially in Waukesha County. And you know, the focus can be is like, how can we get more young people trained and ready for great paying careers in manufacturing, in the trades. We have so many great opportunities here in the trades, and there's a demand for all that kind of work, as well as the other opportunities that a good education gets you. And the unfortunate thing about what is going on in places like Minneapolis and really anything to do with ICE is that in many ways we're taking our eye off the ball. You know, that we're not paying attention to things like economic development and getting our young people trained for more promising futures, and how they can contribute to more thriving communities. And if there's one thing to feel really good about, or one big positive takeaway, is in talking to Gina Nordrum and talking to other teachers that have been on the show and coaches, they talk about really a great crop of young people that have come through our schools in recent years. The enthusiasm they have for serving, the energy they bring to things like a blessings in a backpack, that was a competition concept, but it was also like 50 or 51 different volunteer groups made, excuse me, assembled 12,000 backpacks for children that deal with food insecurity. And there's so much to be very optimistic about with our young people. And so I would really love to see, one thing is getting them involved more in their communities, learning more about what's going on with our government, how they can affect change. And especially with some of them turning 18 soon, it just really emphasizing the importance of voting and exercising that right to vote. So as well as really all of us too, you know, kids from, you know, of all ages, is making contact with your elected officials and asking questions or expressing concerns, giving recommendations as well. So that's my 2-minute warning from Max. Yeah, I guess, you know, to kind of to put a wrap on this conversation about what happened in Minneapolis and I guess how we should be affected in Waukesha, how we should think. You know, again, the videos there, the different testimonials, you can come up with your own conclusions. But, you know, one thing's for sure is that we should be expecting a lot more from law enforcement at that level. I mean, ICE has been around for years, and they were never about like these like black and tan style raids where it's just bully vigilantism and shooting first and asking questions better. That's like, that's never been. And I would have to believe there's a majority of existing ICE officials that have been around for like many years that acted accordingly and were good at what they did. And there's probably effectiveness in terms of how we managed any of the immigration problems we had. But for someone that's worked with expatriates, primarily from Mexico, you know, throughout my career, that an overwhelming majority have been good citizens, good human beings, great workers, great family people, and good citizens. Very few had really any trouble with the law, unless, you know, trouble found them. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I encourage you to stick around for podcast number four tonight in our four pack here, keeping warm as it's getting warmer. Thanks again. Stick around. And yeah, we'll see you on podcast number four. For me and Max, out for now. See you.